with all the appeals for money from religious TV and radio broadcasters, have you ever wondered why you never hear such an appeal on this program? And why I can assure you that you never will? Well, today we're going to look at that question and other questions that have to do with our money and religion. Stay tuned, and together we'll explore God's truth for the world.
The Churches of Christ bring you Truth for the World. And now, Paul Meacham, Jr.
We thank you for joining us today for Truth for the World. We hope that you've made it a regular practice of tuning into all of our broadcasts that we might study God's Word together. We're talking about a very touchy subject today. We've been engaged in a study about various acts of worship that the Bible does authorize for us to participate in. We looked at five lessons regarding prayer and the power that there is in righteous prayer as the Bible commands. Then we looked at the Lord's Supper, a beautiful memorial that He left for us, a monument to the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. We then looked at singing and how God in His book does in fact command us to sing and expects us to sing according to His Word, and that we shouldn't change that and we shouldn't add anything to it and we certainly shouldn't take anything away from it. We also looked at preaching. The last 2 weeks, we spent 2 weeks looking at preaching as it should fit in our public worship. And then today, we begin our final topic on this all-important subject of worshiping God, God's way, and we're talking about specifically by giving. We're talking about giving of our money. Our financial means, the things that we earn as we go out and we work, giving those things to God. Now, like I said, this is a very touchy subject. But if you go to the doctor, and the doctor is poking and prodding, trying to find what may be causing your particular ailment, and he touches a certain area and it hurts, then one of two things is normally true. Either the doctor has touched an area that has a problem and it needs to be corrected, or the doctor is pushing too hard and that's what caused the pain. Now, when it comes to talking about giving, especially giving of our money and financial means, and talking about that in relationship to religion, a lot of times there's some poking and prodding, and a lot of times people feel pain. I can assure you that I don't intend to poke and prod too hard. I do intend to teach from God's Word what He says regarding our giving, because it is an authorized, commanded act of worship. To begin this study, I want to go back to the Old Testament. It's important for us to remember our relationship to the Old Testament. Romans 15 and verse 4 says that it is there for our learning. Now, there are certain things that we can learn and should learn from it. But the Old Testament is not there for our law. Notice Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 9. The Hebrews writer says, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God." Now, here he's quoting our Lord Jesus. And what was the will of God that Jesus did? Well, he explains. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. You see, Jesus did the will of God. And in this particular passage, the will of God that we're referring to is taking away the first law that he might establish the second. So it's important for us to remember that there are things in the Old Testament that we should certainly learn from, but it is not a law for us today that we live under. Now, keeping that in mind, let's go back to the Old Testament first, and you'll see why we do this as the study develops. We'll go back to the Old Testament and look, first of all, at giving and the tabernacle. Now, you may be familiar with the tabernacle. I certainly hope so. If you remember when God brought His people up out of Egypt and out of the bondage of Egypt, He wanted them to know that He was with them. He wanted them to know that He would always be with them, and they didn't have to wonder. In fact, many of them had already asked themselves the question, is God among us or not? Because of that, God gave commandment to Moses that a dwelling place would be built for God, and that dwelling place is referred to as the tabernacle. Now, when we look in God's pages, it's very important for us to realize that it was God's tabernacle, and God is the one who designed it. Everything that Moses did had to be done according to the pattern. You see, God gave him a blueprint. God gave him a pattern, a series of plans that told him how to build it, told him what size it was supposed to be and what furniture was supposed to go inside and where the furniture was to be placed, even to the tiniest detail of how all of the things should be fashioned, how they should be made, what they should be made from, what kind of wood to use, and whether or not to use gold. See, God intended for it to be His tabernacle, made according to His plan. In Exodus chapter 25 and verse 9, we read, "According to all that I show you," that is, the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, "just so shall you make it." You see, God intended for him to follow it just like He said. It was God's tent. It should be made according to God's commands. In Exodus 25 and verse 40, we read, "And see to it that you make them," these are the things of the tabernacle, "according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain." Just as God gave the Ten Commandments from the mountain and intended for those commandments to be kept by His people according to the way that He said to do it, He gave a pattern for the tabernacle. And He intended for Moses and the children of Israel to build the tabernacle according to that pattern. Now, this being true, it's important for us to realize that giving of their money, their financial means, was part of the pattern that God gave them. Notice, if you would, Exodus chapter 35. We'll begin reading in verse 4, and here we're told that Moses spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel. And here's what he said, "This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take from among you an offering to the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as an offering to the Lord, gold, silver, and bronze." Now, the passage continues. We'll not read more of it. It's important for us to realize that here God was requiring His people to give from a willing heart gold, silver, bronze. If we continue reading, we find that there were different types of cloth that might be given, different precious stones, even down to certain kinds of oil and spice that would be used. Everybody could give something. If you had gold, you could give gold. If you weren't that rich and had silver, you could give silver. Possibly you didn't have precious metals, but you could give things like oil and spices. There was always a way for God's people to give back to Him. And that's a very important principle. These people needed to realize that they did not own their possessions, but rather they were stewards. Stewards of God's gifts. Now, there's a big difference in being an owner of your possessions and a steward of something that belongs to someone else. A steward is not one who has ownership, but rather who has charge of those things, who is responsible for those things that belong to another. Now, the people realized that they were stewards, that they didn't own these possessions. In fact, it's probably easier to see among the Israelite people of this time than maybe any other time. If we go back to Exodus chapter 11, we can see where they got the gold and the silver. Remember, they had just come out of Egyptian captivity. But we find that God had provided these things for them. Go back to Exodus 11 and begin reading with me in verse 2. Here says God telling Moses, "Speak now in the hearing of the people, and let every man ask from his neighbor and every woman from her neighbor articles of silver and articles of gold." And notice this, "And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. You see, God told them, you go to your Egyptian neighbors and you ask from them, you borrow from them these things. The Egyptians had put God's people into slavery, into bondage. And He didn't intend for them to have worked all of those years for the Egyptians and then to walk away empty-handed. So God gave the people favor in the eyes of the Egyptians so they would be given these precious things. The people then saw these as gifts from God and realized that they hadn't earned them, they hadn't merited them, but God gave these things to them. Therefore, they were willing to give them back to God. Notice the conclusion. Exodus chapter 35 and verse 21, we read that everyone came whose heart was stirred and everyone whose spirit was willing, and they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of meeting, for all its services, and for the holy garments. These were all things that God had required to be made, and the people brought the things necessary to make all of them. How much did they give? Notice Exodus chapter 36 and verse 5. The people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded us to do. This was the report that was given to Moses by those people who were the workers and the craftsmen building the tabernacle. Now, why was this true? Well, it was true because of the things that we've already noticed. They were given a pattern to build the temple, the tabernacle. And giving was part of that pattern. And the people were willing to give because they realized they were stewards. Now it's important that we keep this pattern in mind because we're going to now shift our attention from the tabernacle to giving and the temple. We talked about the fact that the tabernacle was a tent, and it was just that. It was a very beautiful tent. Very elaborate, but it was just a tent. Once the children of Israel moved into the land of Canaan that God had promised them, and He gave them their land of inheritance and promise, they then erected to Him the temple, which was a fixed place in the city of Jerusalem, and that was God's dwelling place then among His people. We are going to see the same pattern develop with the temple that we saw develop with the tabernacle. First of all, notice that the temple had to be made according to the pattern that God gave. Now, you may remember that David wanted to build the temple, but God wouldn't allow him to do so. David was a man of war. He had blood on his hands, as we might say. So God wouldn't allow David to build it. However, He did allow David's son, Solomon, to build the temple, and He allowed David to collect all of the building materials and to write up the plans, the blueprint, the pattern for the temple. Now, was this a pattern that came out of David's own mind? No, certainly not. Notice with me, if you will, 1 Corinthians chapter 28, beginning in verse 19. "All this," said David, "the Lord made me understand in writing, by His hand upon me all the works of these plans." You see, there was a pattern, and the pattern came from God. It was God who made David to understand the writing of these plans. God inspired him to write this pattern, this blueprint for the temple. That was to be handed down to Solomon, and the temple was to be built according to that plan. Again, just as with the tabernacle, this makes sense. The tabernacle was God's tent. Therefore, it should be made according to God's pattern. The temple was God's house, and it should be made according to God's pattern. Now, just as with the tabernacle, when we come to the temple, we see that giving was part of the pattern. It was required by God. Notice, if you would, 1 Chronicles chapter 29, beginning in verse 5, David asks the question, "Who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord?" Now, he had just talked about the gold and the silver that needed to be given, and that word consecrate literally means who is willing to fill his hand this day to the Lord? Who is willing to fill his hand, in this case, with goods and bring them to the Lord. If we continue reading in verse 6, we find that the leaders in the fathers' houses and the leaders of the tribes and the captains of thousands and hundreds and the officers of all the king's work offered willingly. You see, they gave for the work of the house of God. And then we're told how much. 5,000 talents of gold and 10,000 denarii of gold and 10,000 talents of silver and 18,000 talents of bronze and 100,000 talents of iron. We're even told that all those who had precious stones gave them into the treasury of the Lord's house. Now, how did this giving make the people feel? Notice verse 9, if you would. Here we find that the people rejoiced. For they had offered willingly, because with a loyal heart they had offered willingly to the Lord. And King David also rejoiced greatly. The people were happy to give. We think that that's a strange thing, but it was true of them, and it should be true of us today. Now, why were they so happy to give? And why did they give so generously? Well, giving was part of God's pattern, and they realized that they were stewards of God's gifts and not owners of their own goods. How do I know this? Let's read a little further down, 1 Chronicles chapter 29, beginning in verse 13. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you. We praise your glorious name. Why? Notice what David says about himself and the people. Who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and out of your own we have given you. David realized that they hadn't given anything that belonged to them. Rather, they gave to God the things that belonged to God already. When we look at this book, and we have that same understanding that we are giving to God of His own, then we will give the way that David and his people gave, and the way that Moses and the children of Israel gave for the tabernacle. Till next time, this is Paul Meacham, reminding you that God's Word is the truth for the world.